Rick, thank you for
Yeah, made it.
Magically being able to get out of here.
I apologize.
No, no, no apologies.
But I have found out how you fix a starter on an airplane versus a starter in a car. You don't use a 16-ounce hammer, you use a 6-ounce hammer. And you hit it somewhere dead center, and the aircraft starts.
Sometimes.
So we made it off at Decatur.
So next time you see him flying by, think of that.
Well. I will say the mechanic is changing the starter as we speak.
The idea of using a hammer on your starter to get off the ground
is all by
itself.
Yeah, yeah. The only saving grace is that the starter only starts.
That's
you,
true.
You once don't you're running, need it for anything else.
As a former aircraft mechanic, I'm sorry to hear that you've learned the tricks of the trade.
Yeah, well, that was right. That was Dean. That wasn't me. That was our maintenance director. So. And it's better than sitting in Decatur, because the next step was hand propping, and I, you know, I.
Oh yeah.
Talk about EMS calling up.
So
could have been an opportunity in there somewhere.
I apologize for being late.
No, not at all.
I don't want to ask redundant questions, but I have just a couple.
Yeah, please.
But I'm just going to let you guys
jump
finish
right in.
Because,
jump in.
So Brad, let me. I know you can't speak for your board, but just speaking for yourself. So two questions. One is, what would you find that is positive to do this? And what would you find would be negative or not doing this? Coming from your frame of reference at the fire department, is there, do you see extensive value?
No.
Or do you see extensive, so no, you don't see extensive value?
I think most of the value to be gained can be done operationally, with better interaction between the agencies, and that's simply a matter of fine-tuning culture and moving away from a confrontational relationship, which the agencies have had for a long time. We've made progress in doing that. It kind of goes up and down. And I think the drawbacks are the financial considerations of the geography and the taxing districts, the current financial needs of the EMS agency, and what that would do to the fiscal health of the fire district.
I appreciate that your background is fire. And
I've been in the EMS organization here for 20-something years too.
If you had a whiteboard, what would be your whiteboard suggestion in this process?
My suggestion is the hospital district and EMS get their financial house in order. And when you have two healthy organizations coming together to have a conversation, then it's a different conversation. You're still going to, though, have the geography concerns.
Mm-hmm. Do you think it would be a detriment to the fire department then?
At this point in time?
Yes.
Well, it depends on what you do with Henry and Stewart and Johns. I think it would be a detriment for the fire district to think they were going to provide service to them. I can't speak to the EMS district providing service to them.
That was an important note, Rick, on there was a typo in the...
Yes.
And it's an important, because it gets to this point. It's on page 2. Here, and it's the question that says, expanding the fire district to include structure fire protection to the outer islands is currently feasible, it says here, but it was supposed to say currently not feasible.
Yeah.
Though,
even if this product, if VMS was under fire, why could it not stay separate in its what it provides for healthcare as opposed to what it provides for fire?
I personally, speaking for myself, would not be comfortable making a promise to someone on Henry or the backside of Stewart that I could provide the same service to them that I could to someone here in front of you.
Medically.
Medically.
Okay.
Right.
Fair enough.
And I can't imagine that my board would feel that was appropriate or assume that liability, depending whether you want the legal or the moral side of it.
So Brad, following up on one of Rick's questions, mm-hmm. you had indicated if the EMS fiscal health was in better shape, so they had addressed their the building and their capital needs, you felt that it was just really then the boundary issue. And let's say they were fine fiscally. Mm-hmm. Going back to Rick's first question, what would be one of the benefits?
Still don't think it would.
You think there'd be no benefits of joining?
I think they'd be minimal. I think you're still going to have an EMS division chief. So whether you take one of the higher ranking members of the current organization, of the EMS organization, make them the, their rate of pay is kind of appropriate for the division chief compared to the current fire assistant chief who could potentially be a fire division chief. There'd be some savings.
I'm not looking at the savings piece. I'm
operationally,
just...
I don't know that it's going to make a whole lot of difference. We have a fair number of cross-trained people already. If we were counting on the folks that are currently working in the engine bay in the fire department to staff an ambulance going out the door, that would certainly get the ambulance out the door faster, but whatever productivity or production we're getting, maintenance and facilities and the like, would have a corresponding loss. So for customer service, I don't see this kind of a big difference.
There's been, this, at least what I perceive, and again, that there could be a long-range goal of developing an RFA that would include the other fire departments that currently now have EMS, and one of the stipulations, as I've heard it, would be that it has to be EMS and fire kind of in a single entity to be able to then move forward into an RFA. This is outside the scope of this, but in your estimation, would the RFA, would there be a value to have an RFA here in this county?
I think it would be extremely difficult. If you look at most functional RFAs, as we were talking earlier, these people are working together all the time already. They're responding to the same calls. Because of that, they're using the same procedures, the same equipment, and they're operationally blended, and the RFA is simply an acknowledgement of that and blending the administrations. That's impossible in this county just because of the geography. So I don't see a significant savings in an RFA. A countywide EMS district, as I mentioned earlier, may make more sense, particularly from the staffing level. If you have a pool of paramedics that you then send out to cover shifts as needed, as opposed to having to have enough and some backfill here and enough and backfill somewhere else. But from a day-to-day operations for the fire service part of it, I think it would be difficult. And my understanding of the various cultures of the islands in the county make that something less than laughable.
Yeah, and my perception is that there's so many things synergistically you could actually drive now without having an RFA if you wanted to have joint purchasing and joint, value, that there's segments that you could actually do, which would actually be preemptive to, or at least it would demonstrate maybe the value of an RFA, but right now you haven't gone that route either. Am I correct on that?
There have been discussions, as we were talking earlier, the county chiefs talked about a joint grant for purchasing SCBAs for the whole county. Those sort of things come up on a regular basis.
But haven't solidified.
No, but they're a lot closer. It's on in waves over the past 30 years, depending on who's sitting around the table and is there sincerity at it. It's, as I was telling these guys, it's a pretty good situation right now. It's been less cooperative in the past, for sure.
And I can't remember my last question, but have you worked in a fire EMS consolidated system?
Well, yes, before EMS left the fire department here.
No, gotcha.
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very good. I apologize again for being late. Probably have asked redundant questions, but thank you.
I don't have any other questions. Does anybody else have any other questions that they would like to ask on budget or on the report?
I have one hypothetical. Let's say you're starting with a clean slate, and I know that the cultures on Lopez and Orcas and Friday Harbor are different. Mm-hmm. But if you were starting with a clean slate, coming in here, and yes, there's geography challenges, but if you were to look at it and say, what is the most efficient, most effective way to provide fire EMS services in these islands? And looking at some of those potential cost savings, sharing medics, having a common maintenance bay, so on and so forth, purchasing power, would an RFA make sense in that shape, in that fashion? I mean, you start with a clean slate, you're coming in and you're saying, we're going to provide this service, we're going to standardize it, we're going to share these things, including, you know, the maintenance and whatnot. So you'd be setting up from scratch.
I still think because of the geography and the independent nature of the members of this hypothetical RFA, you'd still have to have a upper mid-level person overseeing what's going on the Orcas, and same situation on Lopez. I think
I would agree with that.
You know, from an operational standpoint. So again, administratively there'd be some savings, but day-to-day operations would be a whole lot more difficult. And keeping all those different pieces moving. I mean, you do that gracefully, you know, without. But I think it would be a challenge. I think there's certain synergy, like you know, because the medic level is career staffing as opposed to volunteers. It's a little easier to look at globally or regionally and send people out to where they need to be for one or two shifts. But you're not going to be able to send volunteers to Lopez to cover two shifts. There's opportunities for, as you point out, purchasing and that sort of thing. In our small county, it's not like we're the city of Seattle going to buy SBAs and saying we need 80,000 of them and can negotiate a much better price. So I don't know that there would be that much value in the ground. So.
I have one more thought that came to me while you were, the last time you mentioned that you think the fire district wouldn't be comfortable providing service to outer islands like Henry and Spidey and whatnot, and therefore should, you know, try to realign somehow the district. And yet, I recognize that Henry is not in the fire district, Pearl is. You feel comfortable that you can provide service to Pearl?
It's marginal.
Okay.
Yes, I have no idea why. You know, I was going through boxes today looking for stuff and found the resolution about annexing Pearl, and I have no idea why they did that. Personally, I think it was irresponsible. But
well, the usual answer is the folks that are out there need something.
There were two residents on Pearl.
Yeah, but it was subdivided into however many lots.
Yeah,
and they knew it was going. It was like Brown Island. It's the same thing. They subdivided the island. They needed to do something. Well,
so Brown Island's a little different because they have hydrants off the
Yeah, they have hydrants, and you still have a remit from Jordan.
Yes.
So, I mean, you do have a little more there than you do on
Absolutely.
on Pearl. Yeah, but
we have a type 3 as opposed to a gator with a pop in the back.
Yeah, that's kind of where I was going.
No.
And I realized that there's nothing on Henry, so yeah, okay. But yeah, you know, it's not a lot different. You could have a gator with a pop back and
yeah, I,
Henry also, I guess.
I have no idea why Pearl okay. was ever brought in.
Yeah.
It's small enough and close enough, I guess, that it, mm-hmm. it hasn't been brought up as an issue to try to cut them loose.
Brad, and my thoughts generated two more. One is that you said you were back when it was a consolidated system. Mm-hmm. Any thoughts between when it was a consolidated system and now as to what you feel was a better way?
Mm-hmm. I wasn't involved at that high a level way back then.
Right. And my perception of just listening is that good people that come together with a single goal in mind and want to get it done can make most anything work. Mm-hmm. And so it doesn't really matter one way or the other. How about from an image standpoint? So this is a small community, 15,000 people.
Island's a lot less than that.
Yeah.
That's true. Even smaller.
That's true.
We take your point.
Yeah, it's 5,000. Yeah. When we look across the country with where things are going in healthcare, as well as fire, it's kind of like a divergent. Fire is going down, mm-hmm. healthcare is going up. Mm-hmm. Basically, you're doing yourselves out of business. Mm-hmm. You're educating better. You're training people not to have as many mm-hmm. fires. There's fire retardant materials. There's all those kinds of things. Healthcare is increasing because as you look at community paramedicine, you look at healthcare delivery, potentially outside of hospitals and so forth. From an image standpoint, to try to continually keep the residents enticed to support these things other than the aspect of you have to do it, okay? With fire dropping down, your call volume has probably decreased over the years.
No, it's actually increased 37%.
It has increased 37%.
Our call volume is going up, the EMS call volume is going down. But that's...
Why?
Well, it's not fire.
It's more, no. So, two things. Of those 7,000 people, as I said earlier, probably 4,000 of them have no idea that they're two separate agencies. For years, half the people on the island didn't understand there were two fire departments plus an EMS agency. So that's the level of day-to-day interest.
So Brad, when you say the call volume has gone up,
yes,
is that because we're doing more agencies assist and we're helping EMS more? Because that is increasing.
That certainly has increased, but honestly, I'd point more to a societal change or a perspective with new folks moving into the island with burn investigations and that sort of thing, and false alarm activations.
Are NVAs up?
No. No.
Yeah, that's good.
And actually, it's tough to motivate people for training because with airbags and ABS and all this other stuff, you don't get to...
You crawl out.
Excuse me. People are able to self-extricate. And
the Jones of life.
When they fall off a moped, they're extricated.
The moped crashes disappeared as soon as Susie got the three-wheel things. Yeah. And we used to have one or two
people that had no business being on a two-wheel vehicle were out riding.
Yeah. But those are
do you think healthcare is down? Do you think it's just with the introduction of peace?
Yes.
The year.
People are driving themselves to the hospital. Before PIMC was here, there weren't any options after hours.
Right.
Yeah.
You had to call EMS.
And are they appropriately driving themselves, or should they be coming 911?
As an EMTB, that's beyond my...
no,
assessment.
No, it's not even close to beyond your. I consider you a pretty astute individual.
From an administrative point of view, they should be calling 911 because the call's on them.
Yeah.
And the money. But from their point of view,
And because my point that I was trying to go to, and it's interesting that your fire calls are up, because that's not a consistent...
It is not the way things are moving.
It's, you know, fires are decreasing, calls are decreasing.
I agree.
And so generating money for fire departments is difficult, and it used to be that EMS was second tier to fires, and now...
That changed a long time ago.
Yeah, EMS is becoming first tier in fire, and what I was wondering is if they are together, would it be easier to sell a levy than if they're apart? When we look at all of the ramifications of what we're trying to analyze here, is there a perception of consolidation being mentally, if they don't even recognize that they've been apart, would consolidation mentally be advantageous just from the sheer standpoint that there's not two levies, there's one levy, I'm losing a levy, even if I'm not losing the value of the dollars. Is there any kind of perceptive value?
The best way to address that is for the fire district to stand up their own EMS service and do it under the fire district levy, because that's a permanent levy. It's not voting. So we don't have to worry about currying favor every 6 years or 10 years to get the stamp of approval and go through what EMS had to go through getting their last levy.
That's interesting.
Because three agencies isn't enough, we need a fourth.
But that is interesting, you know, because honestly, if they come together...
From an operational standpoint, from my very limited point of view, if fire stood up its own, there's levy capacity in within what a fire district can levy to match the 50 cents that EMS is getting at.
So you would really have to dissolve the levy for EMS.
That takes the approval of the community.
And the city's involved with that levy in EMS, is it
yes,
not?
That's, yes, there's
all
it,
those,
setting
yeah.
aside all the concerns with the town.
Yeah.
If the voters approved it, we would begin collecting the levy at the same time the hospital district stopped collecting. We would stand up as they stood down. So to the taxpayer, they wouldn't be paying for two at any given time. That's legally doable.
You dissolve a levy.
Mm-hmm.
Have you guys, and you probably haven't explored it, would you dissolve provider numbers and establish your own provider numbers?
I think we would probably stand up a new service. I mean, that's one route, that's one way forward, is for the fire district to stand up an EMS service.
Wow, so the...
For us, it's the
no
cleanest way to do it.
No transition receivables...
That's the cleanest way for the fire district to do it.
Okay.
We don't end up with a building, an expensive building we don't need. There are a number of things that make that the easiest, most attractive way to get it. Is it doable? That's a separate discussion.
But
in a perfect world, if the decision was made that fire was going to provide the service, that's the cleanest way to do it.
So you'd have to go through then everything, apply for your own, through CMS, your own Medicare, Medicaid. You'd have to get state licensure, you'd have to get street trauma verification.
Yep.
Interesting. All right.
I'm not saying anyone's proposing that one. Someone.
You're saying that's the easiest.
That's the cleanest way to do it, for sure.
Yeah, it definitely is clean.
As long as we're keeping everything on the table, it needs to be on the table.
Exactly.
That's completely the reason for that.
Yeah, while it, maybe you don't want to get down into the weeds, still doing that really then... The ownership of debt of EMS is owned by the hospital board. And so that means all the liabilities are owned by the as well. So.
I think the only debt actually owned is the bond that was the hospital district, because the hospital district floated that bond to buy the building. The rest of it is EMS, it's not hospital.
Yeah, but the EMS doesn't have an entity, so everything is, everything's.
Well, but it's, it has funds.
It's not a legal entity.
It's not a legal entity, so everything is carried.
But there is no claim on hospital district assets for EMS debt, other than the bond for the building, is there? Hospital district has no ownership of EMS funds.
No, but any liabilities they have, who owns them?
I think that's a good question.
The hospital district, because there isn't a legal entity.
Oh, there's no legal entity.
Right, so all the liabilities and any associated downstream liabilities is going to be owned by the hospital district without a levy fund to cover them if it all goes to.
Yeah. That and the building are two reasons the housing district is not.
Hey Brad, I have a question, are you done?
No, please, yeah, go ahead.
I have a question on your budget, so, two questions, well actually it's probably three or four questions, but, where does the contract for DNR come in as far as revenue? Do they pay an actual contract amount every year?
No,
it's based on call?
Yeah, they pay the state chief's rates.
Okay.
And I just renewed the agreement with them. They had old DNR rates, they're now at what is essentially the going rate. The state chiefs and DNR have gone on one rate sheet. And then they reimburse us $250 an hour for the boat. It's like when they went to Stewart yesterday, one of my discussions with the IC was, if you don't need the boat, send them back. And if you can use them to pump water and do something, great. But if you don't need them, send them back. So as far as the mutual aid for driving the boat for EMS, EMS gets the $250 an hour bill for the boat. We just provide the drivers, and so it's costing us $20 or $15, depending on whoever it is. Yeah.
Okay.